we are at the Republican National Convention on Media Row inside the UW Panther Arena for day number three. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And a reminder that Decision Wisconsin coverage presented by Pasternak and Zuckerbell. And what about once a month? We always catch up with our friend.
Yes.
The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report. And just because we're on site doesn't make that any different. And so we wanted to have another conversation with Pam, but since we are at the RNC, get some of her insight on how current politics, and more maybe specifically Republican policies, are impacting farmers. Welcome back, Pam.
Boy, good luck to you guys and all the throngs of humanity around you if you're right there on site.
There are throngs, Pam, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. In fact, some of the throngs are down in Waterford right now. They are at the Great American Farm Fair at the Malsheen Farm, an actual operating farm. That's the first time in its 40-year history that they've actually ended up at a farm. So kind of glad that they're getting a chance to actually see and experience what Wisconsin agriculture can look like.
Pam, we had we're going to play it later, but since you brought up the farm, I talked to a delegate from American Samoa yesterday, and that was one of the things he pointed out that he really liked about his visit. He said, I loved going to the farm.
Nice. Yeah, well, very good. I'm glad that they have that impression. There's a lot of different groups, different commodity organizations and associations that are working collectively to try to make it attractive. And it's not just in case people think that it's only about policy. It is not. This experience at the Malsheen Farm is also about education and trying to help those folks that are coming from, you know, Washington, D.C. and the concrete capital understand the technology, the advancements, all of that that's going on in agriculture today. So if it weren't for the crowds and just the overall angst I have about that many people in one spot, I might have been there myself.
You're like, I'm a farm girl at heart. I don't want to be in all these claustrophobic.
Yes.
Close proximity. All right, so let's talk, let's talk a little bit about politics and policy and the impact it is having on farmers, because I think farmers, like veterans and some, there's certain groups that I think get a lot of attention during campaigns, and how does that end up playing out in the policies that actually get passed? And so what is kind of top of mind for you or from what you're hearing from other farmers when it comes to actual politics and how it's impacting Wisconsin farmers?
I'll tell you, top of hat right now is the lack of attention on agriculture. I mean, first time around for Trump, he was at farms and he was making stops in a lot of rural communities. Neither candidate has spent much time focusing on agriculture. I get it. I understand that we're less than 2% of the population, but it's still a major economic driver for the United States. So I know that that's something that's been noticed. I think that the concern about what's going to happen with international policy can't be ignored for either party. Right now, U.S. agriculture, Wisconsin agriculture depends heavily on the international marketplace for any kind of premiums or, enhanced markets that we're going to see. Remember, Wisconsin dairy is a good example. We have started to find more and more opportunity on the international marketplace, but it's a precarious balance, so you got to make sure you keep those relationships healthy. There's environmental issues. Right now, after Supreme Court rulings, production agriculture is bringing agencies like the Bureau of Land Management into the court system to try to rein in some of their oversights. So there's a lot of different elements on the federal scene that candidates are definitely going to influence with their next administration or the current administration, whichever it should be. And agriculture is paying attention to that, not the least of which, of course, Kristen, is the fact that we don't have any traction at all on the farm bill. This baby, it's like a 13-month pregnancy. You just want to get it done, and we cannot get any traction whatsoever. And you can point fingers wherever you want, but just nobody is willing to engage. And part of it is what's happening today, just trying to help people from a concrete jungle understand what agriculture looks like today, what it's involving, and trying to get them to just even want to engage in something that impacts farmers' lives day to day, not just the EBT cards, not just SNAP, not just women, infants, and children, although that's a big responsibility USDA bears, but to try to reconnect at the imports the Farm Bill makes on day-to-day operations right here in Wisconsin.
All right, Pam, we don't have all day, but let's point a few fingers. Who is holding up? You know, where do we start with the holdup for this farm bill?
You know, I thought we were on our way. Honest to God, I really did. I thought we were on our way to at least getting something done before we fall into the throes of the election battles. Basically, it has, and I hate to point fingers because I don't like politics, but it has been the Democratic Party that has started to really pull back on any kind of cross-the-aisle cooperation on moving it forward. Every time we take a step, they bring something up that's generally connected to the social programs within the Farm Bill, and that turns into a battle. Budgets cannot go up under the Farm Bill. We have what we have, and that is all we have. So whenever anybody says we need more, that's got to come from somebody else, and that's where we seem to get stymied in the process. And again, like I said, Debbie Stabenow is not going to be running again. She's the lead senator from Michigan, and if she's not willing to play or work any kind of compromise, that spells a death knell for any progress in 2024 on a farm bill.
So then, Pam, one of the headlines I've seen a couple different times from a couple different outlets is immigration is front and center in this campaign, in this election year, and specifically immigration and illegal immigration's impact on farming. Do you think that story is overdone, overblown, or accurate?
No, it's completely accurate as far as the frustration of agriculture, but I think that's the frustration of anybody in the business sector that depends on immigrant labor. Farmers have been very clear. Get us a process. The H-2A program does not work for Wisconsin because Wisconsin farmers need employees year-round, not 6 months out of the year like they do in some of the southwest states for harvesting, for example. We need them 12 months out of the year. We want them 12 months out of the year. We want a clear path on how they can legally be able to do that. We want clear guidance on how they can get things like a driver's license. Farmers want to do right by the law, but somebody's got to give them the law. And that's where they are caught between a rock and a hard spot. And like I said, in Wisconsin, we are the dairy industry. And they, in policy, do not understand how they think H-2A is great or they think their programs are great. They're just not recognizing we need somebody to milk cows and take care of calves 12 months out of the year.
All right, Pam, always good to talk to you. We will we'll get back to you again in a couple weeks.
In
August, when this blows by, maybe we'll talk to you from the Democratic convention, just so we can expose you to more crowds and more angst
and more politics, as
more politics.
You despise so much.
Good luck to you all. Have fun.
Thanks, Pam. You can listen to Pam every morning.
Every morning from 5 to 6, right here on WTMJ, the Midwest Farm Report. Starting at limited news time, 1:44. It's spanning the state.